engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your nature. For just as you presented the parts of your bodies as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness for lawlessness, so now present them as slaves of righteousness for sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. But what profit did you get then from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit that you have leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Fire. It is a strong and important theme in the scriptures. Fire. Burning. We use it for cooking our food, which sustains life. It is used for sacrificial offerings. It is used to cleanse and purify. Our God, Scripture says, is a consuming fire. Activity, energy, warmth, consolation. We light the fireplace in the winter. Fire can also be so terribly destructive. It's a power that we know we have to harness. And at the same time, we have to protect ourselves from. What can be more consoling than the sight of a campfire on a cold, dark night when one is in the wilderness? What can be more scary than a fire threatening one's own home? I remember one time being at my parents' house, and the house, one morning, we woke up, someone had called. And said, someone called us, and my mother got on the phone with them and said, they said, the house is on fire. And she said, which house? And the caller said, the one next door to you, and I remember looking out the window, and never forget the scene of the flames coming out of the window of the house right next door, just a few yards away from the house where I had just slept. And it was like, oh my goodness, you see the power of fire, how it can be a threat. Fire department did a great job keeping those flames away from our house, but it's a lesson, isn't it? Fire, so much a part of our lives. In fact, when you analyze physiologically the reality of life and the life of all the cells in our body and our respiration and how we stay alive, it's a mini form of combustion. Fire is all around us, within us. It is us, it is God, and it is in this gospel today. I have come to set the earth on fire. In the prophet Malachi, God says, and he will purify the sons of Levi, for he is like a refiner's fire. You may remember that part of Handel's Messiah. He is like a refiner's fire. And he will purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer unto the Lord a sacrifice of righteousness. Notice how fire here is related not only to purification, but to sacrifice. You sacrifice an animal. So many of the ritual sacrifices that God established in the Old Covenant had to do with fire and burning up the offering. Burnt offerings. This was one of the various types of sacrifice that God had ordained, all of them, of course, prophetically pointing ahead in history to the sacrifice of Christ. And you remember the prophet Elijah, when he challenged the false prophets of Baal and told the people, you have to decide whom you're going to follow. It was fire coming down from heaven that made the difference, that showed the difference between the true God and the false gods. Fire. Now, when John the Baptizer introduced Jesus, proclaimed Jesus, and Jesus came announcing the gospel, we again see the image of fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will gather up the chaff and burn it in unquenchable fire. And Jesus often spoke about the fires of hell. You know, when we say at the end of the rosary too, save us from the fires of hell. It's not a joke. It's serious. And repeated by Jesus, there will be wailing and grinding of teeth, and there will be Gehenna for some, where the fire is never extinguished. Brothers and sisters, what is this that Jesus is saying here? He wants to set the earth on fire. Well, we know that when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, he appeared as tongues of flame. And he inspired a zealous, energetic, courageous preaching of the gospel that led those apostles not just to stand up in front of crowds and proclaim the name of Jesus, which they had been ordered not to proclaim, and they obeyed God rather than men. And that's part of the fire, that zeal of commitment and faithfulness to God that says, no matter what people are going to take away from me, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord who is commissioning me to preach his name. But then also they were able to give their lives. They didn't only stand up and speak when others told them to shut up, but they actually sacrificed their lives. And this is the fire of sacrifice. I mentioned the Old Testament animal sacrifices burnt in fire. So in the New Testament, the sacrifice to which those sacrifices of old pointed is also offered in fire. But this time it's the fire of the Spirit. I have come to cast fire upon the earth. Well, the result of that is going to be zeal, a holy energy, a courage, a boldness There's got to be a zest. We can't be, you know, walking around like zombies and all tired and listless. No, we're jumping up and down. We're running. We're not limping along. We're running to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Fire, zeal. We got to get enthusiastic about the faith. These are the results. But what Jesus is casting on the earth to bring this fire is the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit. Remember, He sends the Spirit from the Father. Him and the Father send the Spirit. And that Spirit came as tongues of flame. Fire, not only to illustrate that holy energy and that zeal, that courage, but to show that there is a sacrifice being made here. He will purify the sons of Levi that they may offer unto the Lord a sacrifice of righteousness. Now, this doesn't refer, well, this refers to the priests, right? Priests and Levites offering sacrifice. We, having received the Holy Spirit in baptism, are called to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, Scripture tells us. Ourselves as a living sacrifice in union with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, renewed in this Mass, which the letter to the Hebrews tells us He offered through the eternal Spirit. In other words, He offered the sacrifice in fire, the fire of the eternal Holy Spirit. The Spirit of love. The Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. He's a person, but He's the love between the Father and the Son, and this is what enables the Son to obey the Father even unto death on the cross, to say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, to face the cross despite saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass by me. And Jesus was distressed. And this is what he's referring to here. As soon as he talks about the fire blazing, he says, I have to endure a baptism. In other words, I have to endure an experience that I'm going to be immersed in that is distressful. What anguish I have until it is accomplished. Of course, he's talking about his passion and death on the cross. He knows what's coming, and he knows that he is going to do it willingly. He has the power. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely, he says. But he has anguish until it is accomplished. And this fire, this zeal, obviously it brings division. You know, those who think that the biggest problem we have in the world and in the church and in the nation is division, and that the first and greatest of all the commandments, instead of loving God with that fire of passion that we're supposed to have, that the greatest and first of all the commandments is not to cause division. Right? Some of you bishops that are listening, how wrong you are. We can't be divisive. We can't be divisive. When are you going to sit down and read the Bible instead of listening to stupid advisors or seeking power for yourselves? Enough with this nonsense. Oh, don't say anything that's going to divide people. Well, then you might as well tear up half the Bible. Brothers and sisters, of course it brings division. Because people don't like to be roused up out of their spiritual laziness. Paul has been talking about this in the first reading. There are two ways we read in the ancient Christian writing, the Didache. There is the way of life and the way of death. Well, it's another way of saying exactly what Paul said to the Romans in the passage we read today. And those who are clinging to the way of death and don't want to be roused out of their slumber, well, there's the division. The division is built in here. It's the way of life and the way of death. There are people who embrace one. There are others who embrace the other. They're not going to get along. There's going to be a division running right through the family, as Jesus said. And we see it happening every day. Either your loyalty is to Christ and you are on fire for Him, or your loyalty is to the world and to the flesh and to the devil. There is a non-biblical quote of Christ. He who comes near me comes near the fire. We've got to let that fire be kindled in us, first of all. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're baptized, you receive the sacrament of confirmation above and beyond that. The same Holy Spirit that led those apostles to give their lives, the same Holy Spirit in and through whom Christ offered the sacrifice of himself on the cross, that same Holy Spirit who came as tongues of fire is in you. Not a different Holy Spirit, not a fraction of the Holy Spirit. God has given you the fullness of the Spirit, but you need to unlock those gifts. Make sure that you're not blocking them and that the spiritual arteries aren't clogged. Open them up. This is where many people undertake the Life in the Spirit seminar, the charismatic renewal, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's been part of my spirituality personally over the years as well. It's not another sacrament. Let's make sure we understand. It's helping us unlock and utilize the gifts that come from the sacraments. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Remember, John said it. I baptize you with water, he said, but he, Christ, will baptize you, what did John say? With the Holy Spirit and fire. So first we have to make sure that we're, you know, as my Mother Teresa said, giving God permission. He's there. You've got the gifts. You've got the power. The obstacle is not primarily those on the outside who are opposing you. The obstacle is not primarily those who are set up in division against us. The obstacle is not these powerful forces in the culture of death. Those are obstacles, but they're not the biggest obstacle. The biggest obstacle is inside of us. Well, we don't let ourselves be consumed by that fire. We hold back. And this is connected to the other thing we have to do. Make sure we're encouraging the fire in others, not squelching it. Stir into flame, Paul says, the gift given you by the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit, Scripture tells us. Do not try to put the fire out in others because you have some kind of misguided idea that you have to protect them. Or you want to, you know, prevent division. You don't want to rock the boat. You don't want them to rock the boat. God help us if we extinguish the fire in somebody else. Don't discourage other people's zeal. In particular, spiritual leaders are responsible for learning and carrying out this lesson. I always think of the one who ordained me to the priesthood, Cardinal John O'Connor, and gave me permission. He saw the fire that God was giving me for the unborn, and he poured fuel on the flames. He allowed me to do the Priest for Life work full time. And he prayed every day, Lord, let me not stop someone today from doing some good. Let me not stop anyone from doing good. That needs to be our prayer. We can discourage others from fanning that fire by giving them bad example, or we can go so far as to tell them, listen, you have to simmer down, you have to calm down. Sure, well, we always have to use prudence, but prudence and fire, believe me, they go together very well. Prudence, yes, but not squelching the courage, the zeal, the boldness, the energy, the enthusiasm, the creativity that the Spirit gives us. I have come to set the earth on fire. You know, the early Christians were, they were called a lot of names and, of course, obviously were misunderstood as they are today. They were thought of as cannibals, for one thing, because they talked about eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ. But they were also known as arsonists and pyromaniacs. Because they talked about these words, setting the earth on fire. In fact, you know the song, Let the Fire Fall? It's a beautiful spiritual song. It's used a lot in the charismatic renewal. Let the fire fall. Holy Spirit, set, there's various verses. Holy Spirit, set the world on fire. And there's a verse, set the church on fire. I was walking in a procession one time as we were singing that, and I thought about the early Christians being known as pyromaniacs and arsonists, and saying, I can see why. Because here we are coming into a church and saying, Holy Spirit, set the church on fire.
If you don't know what it means, it sounds like you want to burn the building down. No, we want to burn out evil. We want to burn out unrighteousness. We want to burn up the power of death. We want to burn with holiness, zeal, kindness, love, boldness. Set the earth, set the church on fire, Lord God. Purify us of evil and fill us with your Spirit. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.